If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH post-show. We have an interesting one today because we are just going to run down the first 20 minutes of this. Have you heard my intro? This new intro video is screwing things up. Okay, we're going to talk.
I heard you talking over the intro video, which was great.
It didn't play for me. It's very glitchy on my end, but what else is new? What's going on? We have kind of a lot to talk about, kind of not that much to talk about. Unfortunately, ROH was 3 hours for no reason tonight.
Now you're muted.
I'm not kidding. The intro video is playing in my ears right now. The stream is haunted, SP3. The stream is haunted. Happy Halloween to everybody. Nothing spookier than StreamYard and my setup, that is for sure. But we're going to get into a little bit of ROH. This was a three-hour episode for no reason. We kind of have one half of the tag team champions back in his, like, panda bear days going on over here, I feel like, with SP3. You got me as a black cat, and let me tell you, I'm better than all of the other cats that hang around here. And I mean cats, like, in the cool way that people are like, he's a cool cat. But I also mean specifically Sean's cats. I'm better than Oliver. I'm better than Kofi. I'll take them on any day of the week, okay? I'll take on any cat that walks in here. But go. I'll tell you what we had on today's show. We're going to zip through this super, super quickly. Get in those super chats. Get in those Humper Chats at humperchats.com. Actually, I don't have access to it, but Joel will probably be on here close enough for us to overlap, and he has access to it. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well, but most importantly, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Some Halloween contract news that's cooking up over there. Some music scoops that dropped that were very cool earlier in the week. We've got all this stuff coming down the pipe with the C2, with more pay-per-views, with more PLEs, so much movement on the NXT side. We had a ton of NXT notes for you guys earlier this week. But we're going to give you just a couple of quick highlights on ROH. SP3, I don't know what to say anymore at this point. 3 hour episode, Jericho nowhere to be found on it. Just absolutely ridiculous. No need for this to be 3 hours. There was a 23 minute throwback match in this. So many squashes that didn't mean anything. We're going to give you like a top five highlights, but I am so annoyed that we care more than the people that edit this show, evidently. This was like an abomination of an episode to do this. I don't understand why they're doing it. I don't understand why they did it on Halloween. I think you had an incredible match between Athena and Abaddon. I feel like you burned it on this episode. I think that was really stupid. You should have done it at Battle of the Belts or something else. Or you should have done it on a standard episode so that we could come on here and say, what an incredible match, instead of what a waste of 2.5 hours of my time, plus a couple of things that worked, plus this incredible match at the end. This was probably the best match of Abaddon's career. And I'm coming on here fatigued from a 3 hour episode to talk about it on Halloween night. That's stupid. That's categorically stupid. But I don't know, SP3, what were kind of your overall thoughts? And then we'll just run down a couple of bullet points, but turning it over to, I can't even tell you how excited I am to bring Cresta on the stream tonight.
Athena and Abaddon was probably the best match we've seen on Ring of Honor television since probably Kyle Fletcher versus Lee Johnson this year. Like,
that's fair.
It was awesome. It was the appropriate kind of fit the theme, fit the stipulation, fit the Halloween theme that we said we booked this like weeks ago. We booked this weeks ago. They just decided to announce this matchup on social media after building it for 3 months, they just decide to announce, hell yeah, we're going to do that on Halloween. Because we can't plan ahead and announce this on last week's show. But these two ladies outdid the creative, outdid the edit team, and just delivered a great match. But I 100% agree with you. They burnt it on this show because nothing after the throwback match, except for STP and the infantry, needed to be on this damn show. Okay. They could have took everything that happened other than infantry and STP and put it on next week's show. And then we could have had 30 minutes at least to talk about freaking Athena and Abaddon having a great match that everybody wants to talk about. And we actually got stories. We got stories with the tag team division. We got Jericho was on the show. He was on the show twice. He had a plug-in promo, a second Jericho promo, because we needed that on this 3-hour show.
This was such a shame. And look, I'm annoyed that we had to abbreviate our show for this. I understand that their goal is not to set up post shows to be run in the most efficient way possible. But as a viewer, as an enthusiast and a fan of the product, I was exhausted by the time that we got to this main event. I was turned off by the fact that there was a 23-minute throwback match in this episode. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. The premier athletes came out like 64 times in this episode, it felt like. Like, this was just so uncalled for. But let's talk about the good. Let's talk about that women's title match. Billy Starks pieces out before this. She's done with their nonsense. She is not putting up with it. She's saying, I'm taking my MIT day off, which I really loved that, like, you have PTO as a minion. I thought that was pretty cute. But I loved Lexia this being like, you can't do that. Like, today of all days in this economy, this is when you're going to peace out on all of this? I thought that was a really nice job by Lexi. She's so blossomed in this whole storyline. I feel like she's been so fantastic. But this seems like this part of the leg is appropriately paced. Like, they're going to set up Billy and Athena at Final Battle. Athena having Lexi kind of justifies her winning this match anyway, but man, oh man, what a star-making performance I feel like for Abaddon. Like, this is the wheelhouse of Abaddon. They beat the dog crap out of each other, man. Like, they beat the ever-living crap out of each other in this. The chain spot was incredible. The finish was incredible. I don't want to wax poetic too much because we're going to try and get out of here pretty quickly, but what were your thoughts on the main event? I thought it was fantastic and deserved to be on a bigger stage.
Just so many great spots. Like you said, the finish with the O face onto a row of chairs was awesome. The power bomb onto the steel steps. You had a Uranagi on some thumbtacks. You had chairs being used, ladders being used. Oh man, this was so much fun to watch. The skews, and then the Abaddon. Skews, basically,
we never see that. Yeah,
we barely see that ever. Not for the women. They
it's like John Moxley every 6 months. Like, we don't.
and we got it here. We got it here. But it's just like, yeah, I agree with you. We put it on Battle of the Belts. Put it on this show. But just take 50% of everything that happened after, during this show, and put it on next week's show. And we could have spent the whole hour talking about this one match.
For real. We have just Ricardo, who literally sends us support all the time. Even when he's at work, he'll send in chat star shows. He's so sweet to us. Thank you, Ricardo, saying, happy Ring of Halloween, ROH, baby, Ro. But love y'all. We love you, too. You're so great to us. We really, really appreciate it. And Cody Anderson saying, main event was awesome, but 3 hours is too long. Not even Raw is 3 hours, man. Like, it's way too long, especially for this type of show. Like, it's an in-ring focused show.
I was like, I watch Raw. I was watching Raw, especially when I'm out here in the UK. I was watching Raw on like Tuesday mornings, and Raw is 2 hours and 15 minutes. This was longer than a 3-hour era of Monday Night Raw. That is outrageous. That is ridiculous. This was like watching Monday Night Raw and half of NXT in one night.
Yeah, which is also, Raw is more talking than in-ring some of the times, 50-50 on a good day, right? And this is an in-ring focused product, so you were just like beaning matches at us. It was way too much, but we do have some other positive developments that do happen on the show, so I don't want to be overly negative on it, but this this was a really, really, really frustrating thing to see, because there's five talking points that I want to get into, and they were lost in this sea of nonsense. But one thing that was awesome was STP looks like they've successfully recruited the infantry. The infantry getting the win tonight. Finally, something happening for the infantry. I love this. I think this development is so cool, especially like everybody feels so different in it. Like Shane Taylor is so different from Lee, is so different from Carly Bravo, is different from Sean Dean, is different from Trisha Dora. And I love that they used the pre-existing ROH relationship with Shane Taylor and Trisha Dora as a connective tissue to get there. I thought that was really clever last week, I think it was. I love that this happened. I've been begging for them to go somewhere with wins and losses for the infantry for a while. Shane Taylor promotion needs to be more than two guys. Anthony Ogogo, I think, is on paternity leave. Good for him. We love that for him. But them blossoming and growing into this, I think, is really, really fun. I was very enthused to see this. This is awesome. I'm running so low on faith that they actually do anything with it, but I like what we got tonight, so I'm trying to be optimistic.
Trisha Dora, just, she went right into the character. Just the whole new look with the all black attire. She being the one that kind of snapped the infantry into being heels by low blowing and Helico was awesome. And yeah, I agree with you. This finally feels like STP can be the force that they've always could have been. And you can legitimately push Shane Taylor in the Ring of Honor world title scene now, even though Jericho's the champion. You could still put Shane Taylor in the Ring of Honor world title scene. Lee can have the pure title, and then Infantry can go after the tag team titles, and Trish can go after the women's championship.
Yeah, this was also kind of silly because we already saw Ishii call out Jericho, and Ishii was on this episode too, and I'm like, pick a freaking lane, man. Just like, set up what you're setting up or don't. It looks like we're going to get a third match with Mark Briscoe. I don't want to see either of them win at this point. It's sad.
We all know that Ishii's not going to get that title shot on Ring of Honor television. He's probably going to get it on the Thanksgiving episode, because they did that 2 years ago.
That's absolutely what they're going to do. And we also know it's an inevitable outcome, because we've already jumped ahead to the Mark Briscoe picture. And they're having a match because guess what? Chris Jericho keeps saying Jay Briscoe's name. Ridiculous.
Complimentary at that. He's a two-time Ring of Honor world champion, like Jay Briscoe. That's a compliment, Jay. That's a compliment, Mark. I just want to let you know.
Keep my brother's name out your effing mouth. But we also have something happening in the tag title picture that I am kind of split on. We have the Righteous picking up a win, going after Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes. They have not been on the show nearly as much as a lot of the other tag teams that have been picking up wins and losses. But they effing should be. The Righteous are incredible. They're great. They're such a fun act. They put Lance Archer in it, and then they plucked him right back out. The inconsistency with the main roster is so annoying at this point. Like, they literally built Dark Order to be a serious, real deal heel trio, and then we're like, but you're going to be baby faces and back up Orange Cassidy, so now you have to be faces here. Like, not good. Not good. But I am excited to see the Righteous back. What were your thoughts on this as my stream catches up?
Yeah, I like the way that this was built out on a regular Ring of Honor show. This probably would have been the main talking point, because you had the Righteous to kick off the show, kind of initially making their challenge, setting their sights on the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles. Then you had Sammy and Dustin's response in a backstage promo, and they had a good response there. And then you had the Righteous squash, where they injured one of the jobbers, break their ankles like he did to Matt Taven. You had Sammy and Dustin come out to make the save. Then you had Sammy and Dustin do a second backstage promo that got interrupted by the Righteous laying them out. So this would have been nice build. Like, you could have, I know they're going to probably announce on social media that that matchup is coming next week, though. I've kind of lost hope on them pacing their stories. I feel like all of this push was to have a match on next week's show.
Probably we're never going to get the six-man titles in action ever again, I'm convinced. So, not sure what is
the going on. The Von Erichs are not allowed out of Texas, apparently.
No, we were dead on about that. But let's talk about the most pressing thing in your world. JD Drake is back, which makes me so happy. I love him so much. Very glad to see him back here. But he really drives home to your boy Beef. They're not buddies. They're not related. Like, he's not related to Anthony Henry. He's a second cousin that married into the family, dude. Like, come on now. A lot of aggressive clarity on JD Drake's behalf, but how are you feeling about this emotionally? I know this is a tough one for you.
Well, they got a big win because they beat Preston Vance and Aaron Solo to kick off the show. Then we got the great backstage promo. Big win.
Are Aaron
big
Solo
win.
And Preston Vance a thing now?
Big win.
Okay.
Big win. Very established tag team. Very established. On this show. Very established. They got the win there. And then the backstage promo was probably the highlight of the night on any other show. If this was a 2-hour show, it would have been the highlight of the night for me. Because he says, oh my God, you're so wet. Just like Anthony said. He says, you're my tag, you're the tag team partner of my second cousin. So you're my cousin too. I get it. See, I see in us in the black, see, Cresta might understand. Us in the black community, we call people brother and sister all the time. So I think it's perfectly fine if someone is the brother or the tag team partner or colleague or co-host or co-worker of your second cousin by marriage, that makes them your second cousin by marriage, by partnership. So, I mean, it makes sense to me. And he can't chill. He can't chill. He's beat.
Possible. Guys, we have one more talking point to go, but we're going to throw it over to the TNA post show, who's got all of the Bound for Glory fallout for you. Fortunately, Cresta's not here tonight, but Don Callis, a variation of Don Callis,
or Kurt Angle.
Is, but I'm getting the, oh, I'm sorry. We got Kurt Angle coming up. Wow, what a get. I probably should have promoted that better on social media, that Kurt Angle is going to be joining the post show. Earlier, somebody was masquerading as Don Callis. That reminded me of Cresta for some reason. But we are going to talk Angle. About Cresta Angle. Yeah, I like it. But, we're going to talk about this pure match, Matt Taven's first pure match ever, and he gets the W there. Some surprising stuff in this. Like, I feel like pure matches are so interesting because they are psychology sink or swim tests. And I remember when Mike Bennett entered the pure picture, I was like, this is going to be interesting because he does not feel like a pure wrestling guy, right? Like, that doesn't feel like his wheelhouse, but he put on some really cool pure matches when he was in that picture before ROH shut down and was taken over by Tony Khan. So Matt Taven, kind of the same thing, and ironic that it's his tag team partner, but like it really is part of why I love pure matches so much, is it genuinely does pull such a different side out of wrestlers, and I think we got to see something different out of Matt Taven tonight.
Yeah, and I like the way they set it up with talking about that he's never won the pure championship, and that's the only Ring of Honor men's championship that he's never won. And I thought that, you know, the way they built the psychology of the matchup with Aaron Solo using all of his rope breaks before Taven was able to put him away. Because, yeah, it was Aaron Solo in this match. I'm sorry, this was a 3-hour show. So I'm sorry to Peter Avalon, who was tag team partner with Preston Vance.
Correct.
Against Beef
they
and JD.
Good chemistry too.
Yeah, the well-established tag team of Preston Vance and Pretty Peter Avalon. Pretty Peter and Preston, as I like to call them. They were in that matchup against Beef and JD Drake. Aaron Solo was in this match, so used all his rope breaks, and then he couldn't get out of the little cross face by Matt Taven. And it was weird for me because Matt Taven was the babyface. Like, I know that Undisputed Kingdom did a soft babyface turn on Dynamite with them aligning with Adam Cole, but it was still weird for me because Matt Taven is a great heel, and he's been heel for so long that I was like, wow, he's actually getting some cheers here. And then Lee Moriarty coming out to make the challenge. And this is another match that I'm pretty convinced this is going to happen on next week's show.
Of course. And it's so funny because everything that we talked about was positive movement. If this was just wrapped in a 90-minute picture, I'd have no complaints about this episode, but that is all the talking points that we have. I had a joke and I forgot to make it. But you mentioned Trisha Dora's new look, and I was going to say meow, guys.
I see what you did there.
She looks good. She looks good joining the Shane Taylor promotion side of things. She always looks good. They should put her in matches. That means something. But that is our brief recap. I'm sorry it was such an unorthodox show tonight. I didn't plan on spending my Halloween night watching 3 hours of Ring of Honor television. But we did, because we don't run from the grind. SP3 and I are here to play the game, okay? But we have Joel Pearl, who we're going to bring on, and a huge get. This is someone who should have had a 5-star match, okay? I'm sorry, Dave Meltzer, but it's should have had a 5-star match. I think that's fair to say. A TNA legend, a legend in this great sport, in this business, in this industry. A surprising comedic chops considering literally an Olympic level athlete and one of the best in-ring technicians of all time.
Milk enthusiast,
all around yes. Great guy. I think this version of Kurt Angle might have a little bit more wherewithal than the other Kurt Angle that we've gotten to know and love. Like he took a beating in his career, and I feel like the charisma of this version of Kurt Angle is something that's going to blow you guys all away. But let's welcome Kurt Angle to the podcast. My God.
That's more Seth Rollins, but it's me, Kurt Angle.
You suck.
You know what my three favorite letters are? I for integrity, intelligence, and intensity.
I love it.
Look at that. Oh yeah.
Kurt Angle famously dabbing all the time. Like right to set up a finishing move, he would just I love it.
Right after the Angle slam, you guys didn't see us so fast. As...
Me Normus with a super chat at the buzzer here saying Henry and Beef should wear khakis and blazers, live in Sue's van down by the river, and only mostly do tables matches. Happy Halloween, partners. Well, happy Halloween to you, Me Normus. What I respect about Beef is I think he said, I know what the most successful angle in WWE has been in the past couple decades. The Bloodline. I am going to have my PowerPoint of cousins that I'm related to as well. And so he might be stretching the definition of it, but like, you know,
did somebody say PowerPoint?
Like that's fair. I applaud him for his effort, but we're going to bring on somebody who I love to like pick on him, but he turned 125 or $25 into 175 along with Cresta last week for me. Because I went to bet online AG and put $25 down on Masha Slamovich beating Jordan Grace.
Thank you.
Those odds were so low risk, high reward. I was a happy, happy camper. So I can't even dunk on Joel this week. He's made me some money. I owe that man a dinner.
I will happily accept it. Just don't do it in the form of a PowerPoint presentation.
I make no promises.
What if she came dressed up as Kurt Angle? Would you still accept
her? First of all, are you wearing a swimsuit? What are we doing here?
First of all, I'll have you know, at the risk of getting whatever happens to us,
demonetized.
I have on a singlet, okay?
She's got a singlet.
Okay? I'll have you know I have on a
singlet.
I even have on a sports bra. I'm ready for the bit. I'm living the gimmick, brother.
It's like Stokely Hathaway stole Kurt Angle's gimmick.
Listen, if you really want to keep, I got on my slippers. I'm not ready for nothing. Ready for bed. Stokely Hathaway, don't steal my glide. Don't steal my gimmick. Don't listen to SP.
Joel, what are you?
Oh, what do you mean?
Are you Sammy Guevara?
What? No,
Sammy Guevara.
Like I'm just what? I like Cresta dresses up all the time. I don't know why you're a cat. I don't know why SP3 is. What are you? What? Black Will Ospreay?
There you go. elevate me to the sky. Oh, hey, bruv. Oi.
Yo, you in London town? You gotta chill.
I was gonna say, I think you spent a little bit too much time across the pond.
Oi, bruv. Tea, mate. I am the feeling, bruv.
Is Kate supposed to be Penelope Ford? Is that what we're doing? Or are you Harley Cameron from last week?
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Marino says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Marino is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Marino will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Marino thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
She's someone without audio is what she is.
You're muted.
She's
the mute button personified. That's what she is. She's going to have to restart her entire computer.
Kate, say, you know what? I've had this chicken shit gig.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye,
guys. Bye, love bye. You guys.
Love you, too. See you soon, SB3.
Bye, SB3. What up?
Hi.
Bit.
First of all, this is hot as balls. I can't wear that. I wore that on an episode of In the Weeds once, and let me tell you, it did not last very long. It was during the Owen when we had Martha Hart being like, "Wear your best hats," and so Jeremy and I did a bit where we wore our best hats. Long story short, it was a stylish hat. It's hot as hell, so I don't wear it anymore. Hi, how are you?
Honestly, being bald, I see why Kurt Angle did it. RJ City did an AEW recently where he was doing interviewing Ricochet, and he was like, all the best people in professional wrestling are bald. And
I see the vision. I see it. Anyway.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right. It's 10:30. I have been up since 5:30. I would like to get this road on the show if you would too.
I'm ready. Let's speed run it. Kurt Angle style. Let's get these gold medals.
I could speed run this shit in 15 minutes.
I mean, not for nothing. Respectfully, all things considered, this is kind of a 15-minute review show.
And a one and a two. Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show. It's Halloween Pack, October 31st, 2024. That made it sound like it was a like a super PAC, like a political thing. It's not. I just tried to put Impact and Halloween together, and it sounded like Halloween packed, but I didn't put the T on the end. Anyway, I'm at Joel Pearl, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Kurt Star. Cresta Angle? Kurt Cresta. Cresta Gold Medals. How are
you? I mean, I was Don Callis earlier today, and now I'm Kurt Angle. And, you know, if the sun and the moon align, I might be Stone Cold Steve Austin by the end of the night. I'm doing well.
Did you get like a bald cap and then just think of every single bald wrestler you could do and then decide to do a costume off of them?
So I was supposed to do Stone Cold, I'm sorry, Sailor Rattlesnake, which is going to be Sailor Moon and Stone Cold Steve Austin mixed together. But my mind thinks I can do things a lot faster than it needs to be done. So in my house, there's a singlet. So Kurt Angle, I already was bald. I could have been Josh Alexander. You know, there's a lot of great bald wrestlers.
It's true. There are plenty of them. Can we name one more?
You said Christopher Daniels, Stone Cold. I'm Kurt Angle, Josh Alexander, Shelton Benjamin.
Shelty B, huh? Jonathan Gresham.
Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah, who else?
John Silver.
John Silver? I'm a great wrestler. He's entertaining.
I mean, he's bald.
He is bald. I thought
the criteria was just bald. Stokely Hathaway.
Scorpio Sky, we've been talking about him a lot on In the Weeds because we think he's going to start a hair regrowth system, and that's how he's going to get his group back together on AEW. He's going to grab a bunch of people, and he's going to introduce them to the Scorpio system where hair regrowth is possible. Except Scorpio. He doesn't have the hair, but it grows it for everyone else.
He doesn't need hair because he's better than that, but you aren't, so you need it.
Young is being mentioned by the great distractor. I know he's having a fun Halloween.
Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead in the chat, type what bald wrestler you can think of, because I do see an Adam Pierce. That's true.
Anyway, enough of the walking wiener. Let's get right into it.
Walking wiener.
Coming off of Bound for Glory, the TV tapings for TNA Impact, they went the night after in Detroit. There was some news that came out of it. Some of it's been discussed, some of it hasn't. As you saw throughout the night, Chris Bay suffered an injury during a match. It was ABC versus the Hardys. Something happened. We don't need to get into the specifics here, but Chris Bay did go. He did have surgery. He is currently recovering. They did start the night with a thank you statement from Chris Bay saying that he's doing okay. Ace Austin recently released a statement as well. And TNA has just kept people up to date as to how Chris is doing. There's also a GoFundMe. We're going to leave the, not only are we going to leave it right here in the chat, which is what I'm doing now here on YouTube, but also if you're listening to us in audio, we'll leave a link to the GoFundMe for Chris Bay in the audio description. So go ahead if you have the means and you are available and you were willing to do this, please donate to the GoFundMe, because Chris is not only well loved by his peers, but he's also someone that people speak very fondly of, and we hope that he has a very quick, swift, and just great recovery, because you never know when it comes to neck and head issues. So we start off with sending our love to Chris Bay, and that's of course how Impact opened this week as well. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Cresta.
Honestly, no. I don't know him personally, but we just are mutuals on TikTok. He's always been super cool if I ever had a question. He's such a nice guy. I have nothing bad to say, but please, I've shared the GoFundMe. Even if you can't donate, sharing goes a long way. Someone might see it who has a couple of million dollars laying around, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? On top of that, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, so-and-so gave this much. I don't care who gives what. If you're able to do it, go ahead and do it. If you know someone who might see this and they might want to do it, fantastic. That's great. The real thing here is just rallying and showing support for someone who is injured and someone who needed an emergency surgery coming out of a very busy and very impactful show for TNA. So no pun intended with impactful, but regardless. The other name that kind of caused... Again, we're going to use impactful for the tapings, was Vikingo. There was a match between Vikingo and Trent Seven that was taped. Vikingo was injured in that match as well. So that match is not making air as far as we can tell, because it certainly didn't air tonight and it was taped for tonight's show. Vikingo has updated saying that he will be okay. He's waiting for swelling to go down. Then he will commence his rehab process. He thinks he'll be back in about 10 to 20 days or 11 to 20 days. Either way, he looks to be on the mend and been back. So we're looking forward to seeing Vikingo back, whether that's in TNA or if that's Triple A, wherever he is. It's good to know that he's doing okay, but definitely a tough set of TV tapings for TNA, and I'm sure they're looking forward to moving forward when they go to Fayetteville for, I guess it's next week or at least a week and a half from now. So we got some matches to talk about. We got some stuff to talk about. Talk about FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, and plenty, plenty more. Overall, Cresta, get your thoughts on the post-Bound for Glory fallout from Impact.
All things considered, I agree with you. This was a show that happened and it took place. I can, like what you just talked about with Chris Bay and Vikingo, completely understand why it came off as, wow, this was a show that happened. So I'm not even looking at it with the critical lens. I got my sports entertainment lens on and I can tell you everything that I liked.
Great. We're going to dig right into it. Ayo sends a super chat saying Cresta looking like the Mr. Kennedy version of Kurt Angle, which is great because opening up the show tonight is Frankie Kazarian with
Mr. Kennedy. I'm sorry.
the Frankie Kazarian variant of Joe Hendry. And he misses the spin for the intro, which comes into play later. I will say this, though. I know Denise Salcedo is not watching us right now, but Frankie Kazarian's outfit looked better than hers. Don't at me. Don't touch me. Frankie Kazarian did it better. I'm just saying. It's okay.
I loved it. He said he was Joe, but all I heard was Drew.
Oh, it's true. Whenever anyone puts on an accent, you end up sounding like Drew McIntyre. You either sound like Drew McIntyre or you sound like Fat Bastard. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
I eat because I'm unhappy, and I'm unhappy because I eat. That's a vicious cycle. He was cooking Joe Hendry, but I'm like, damn, if I close my eyes, I can hear, I prayed for this to happen.
Surprised you didn't try it. And basically, Kazarian calls Joe Hendry an idiot who became a viral sensation whose 15 minutes are over. And then, of course, you say his name, say a stupid name, and he'll appear. And then out comes the real Joe Hendry. And my favorite part of Joe Hendry's intro is that as he's shading Kazarian, who's out on the floor, Hendry does the turn properly and continues shading Kazarian. And it's just the little stupid things that make it so much better. Hendry basically says he got screwed, called it a conspiracy. Nick Nemeth comes out, says he has nothing to do with JBL showing up at Bound for Glory. And then Nemeth says Hendry deserves a rematch. He went to Santino. Allegedly, Santino says no. And then out comes, this is a long ass segment, by the way. This is a 20 minute
commercial break.
They did a whole thing. Yeah, that's true. They kept going. This isn't even the commercial yet. Santino comes out. Santino allegedly said no, he doesn't come out. And then Lisha Edwards, Tasha Steele's Edwards, and JDC come out. At this point, I'm like, we've worn out our opening segment. Welcome. Nemeth points out no Myers, no Moose, no Gold. And then Nemeth wants to team with Hendry to take on Edwards and JDC. Kazarian jokes about it being a six man. And then he gets a super kick and a standing ovation for his troubles. This was a fine opening segment. It was just a little too long and it's going to continue after the break. But let's break down, I guess, the Nemeth, Hendry, Kazarian stuff. What do you think?
I will say the talking tonight, I am a level 99 yapper, and the yappers were yapping tonight. Kazarian coming out, besides it sounding like Drew McIntyre and that other meme of, it's not funny, I got Scoo. The lace front, the wig was wigging, because I'm like, did Kazarian dye his hair blonde? Because I couldn't tell that was a wig until he turned to tell it. Oh, okay. Also, Joe Hendry telling Kazarian, haven't you been wrestling for 48 years? I was like, hey, yo. And also telling him, it's nice to know that in your 50s, you decided to get into the title scene was insane. Also, I got to give a shout out to JDC for the simple line of shut up town. That's insane. That is such a simple line. Everyone tonight talking was cooking. I do not believe Nick Nemeth for a second that he ain't know that old boy was going to come out there. Maybe your brother didn't know. But I do not believe for one second. Everybody played their talking part well there. I will agree with Joel that this overstayed, especially with the, do you wanna know? The first three times I was like, oh, you got me. By the third, fourth time, I was like, yo, Lish, come. I thought he was cool. I didn't know he had beef.
We just kept going with it. This is her new. So what do you want to talk about?
Except Vicky Guerrero.
That woman has ruined wrestling for so many reasons. And that's one of them. By the way, chat definitely paid off, because you're thinking of wrestlers who are bald and who are superstars. Well, Cresta, why are you bald?
I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter why I'm sorry, wrong person.
You know who we're talking about, right? Do you know who we're talking about?
Who's bald? Me.
Yeah, bald. You don't know why you bald?
No.
Oh, you're killing me.
The only bald I know is that guy being mean to this girl on the internet, and she says, "You're bald, sweetie," and he gets mad and gets out of his truck.
You don't know this? You don't know this meme? Why are you
Somebody
bald?
Say that to Ricochet.
Why are you bald? Why are you ugly? You not? Oh my god! I can't do this show anymore. I quit. We're done,
bro. I'm such a cornball. I swear to God, I don't watch wrestling. I swear to God, I don't. I've never seen wrestling a day in my life.
Why are you bald? Why are you ugly? Anything he says, people come back with, "Why are you bald?" Can't quit.
Why you bald? Because you're I don't bald. Got Why hair up there.
Anyway, we go to the break. That's our commercial break. That's they come commercial. Back commercial break. And Lisha keeps talking. She calls out Masha Slamovich. Masha comes out, mocks Lish, and says, "You know what I want to talk about?" I thought that was actually very funny. And then Masha says she wants a fight. Tasha Steele interjects, goes after her. Lish tries to intervene. It becomes 2-on-1. Jordynne Grace makes the same wearing the same outfit she wore on NXT. She pointed it out herself. I'm not saying anything that wasn't known. She said she's a serial outfit reuser. She did it. She wore the same thing on NXT on Tuesday. She wore it for the tapings. And then Santino comes out and makes Masha and Jordynne versus Lish and Tasha next week. I'm really waiting for Santino to say something about the Nick Nemeth drama. And we will get to that in the main event, because stuff happened on an exclusive digital short afterwards. And again, I have feelings about not only Santino, but also just how we're doing this thing.
I have a real question.
Go ahead.
Tasha Steele, what the hell are you doing there? Not for nothing. Like, it's giving Sami Zayn the early days of the blood. Like, what are you doing here? Like, I understand there may not be nothing going on, but you see what she did to her last partner, right? What are you doing here, Tasha? Like, I was here for the energy. The whole time Tasha was like, "Yeah, yeah." But I'm also like, Tasha, what are you? Also, superb Joker cosplay, outfit, costume, Tasha Steele's. I reshed it. Fantastic. But still, like, well, what are you doing with the system? Stop it. So what are you doing here?
Santino made no reference to saying no to Nick Nemeth's offer to put the title on the line. It's a very big plot hole that I'm waiting for them to sew up so that we can get to the Nick Nemeth is turning heel dynamic. But we'll get there, and I'm sure we will, but they definitely shied away from it, and it felt like a very big hole that just needs something. But we'll move on. First Class defeats the Rascals. Casey Navarro rules. So does AJ Francis in this match especially. Casey Navarro mocks the Rascal sign and then gets kicked in the face for his actions. The end of the match is Miguel, after getting his back worked on throughout the match, goes up to the top trying to wrap up the match, and then Francis hits the down payment off top rope for the win. First Class, to me, might be going after the Hardys for those tag titles. What do you think of this match? First Class defeats the Rascals, former tag champions in their own right.
Every time I see First Class, all I could think of is time to cheat, and that's what they did. I'm not mad at it. I will say that First Class is exactly what they need to be. This heel, underhanded, I don't care. Money, money, money. Casey Navarro is always fantastic. And AJ's, I almost called him AJ Styles, Lord forgive me. AJ Francis has the best facial expressions of a, I don't know how else to describe it besides that. Because when he gets hit or does something like he shouldn't be caught, he has the real big Scooby-Doo like, couldn't have been me, that Scooby-Doo, that was this man's an actor. This man's a paid actor.
Some good stuff. I'm looking forward to the potential of doing First Class versus the Hardys at Turning Point. That show looks like the showiest show that's ever showed. I'm just going to leave it at that. You're probably looking at it, unless they do some of these as like impact main events, which they could, because they're doing 4 weeks of tapings, or I guess 3 weeks, whatever it is. You could do First Class in the Hardys as like a main event on an episode of Impact, sure. Or you could do that at WrestleCade. You could do Lish versus Masha at WrestleCade. And the main event certainly made you feel like Nick Nemeth has his next opponent. We'll get to that in a little bit. So we'll see where it goes. And again, ABC being out of the picture for the next little while is also going to play a part as to where the tag team division lies. Other teams might step up, or we might just kind of reshuffle the deck a little bit, maybe bring in some others. I don't know. I think it's more likely they'll just reshuffle some decks.
Speaking of reshuffling a deck, where does that leave Ace Austin? Do we get an Ace Austin X Division push? Because I think Quadzilla affectionately is ready for either main, X Division, digital media. Like he has grown so much as a wrestler within the TNA Zeitgeist that honestly, I wouldn't mind him doing a match with a Joe Hendry, or even not saying you'd want to get involved with that Northern Armory stuff because they're over there slapping people's nipples off. But I wouldn't hate him being in a match with Macklin and Alexander. Not saying you need to be involved with that, but he'd fit right in. I'm excited to see what happens with Ace Austin out of this terrible situation.
If he decides that he's going to remain active throughout this, and I feel like he will. I mean, it's awful to lose a tag partner. It's going to be up to him at the end of the day. If he does come back, I could see him in the X Division, especially coming up soon. We'll leave it at that. We'll talk about Ace Austin and where he might go in the coming weeks. But let's move on. Eric Young, Jonathan Gresham, and Macklin defeat Josh Alexander in the Good Hands. Now, when the Good Hands come out with Josh Alexander, I'm like, really? Of all the teams available to Josh Alexander, because Sinner and Saint are unavailable, this is the team that you got for Josh Alexander. But they made sense of it. Alexander comes out, and after doing his heat shtick, he says, basically, I took the Good Hands, gave him a job, and said, if you do well, there'll be more jobs. Well, the Good Hands did a job. It just wasn't the job of winning the match. Sinner and Saint were denied at customs per Josh Alexander, and he says somebody stooged them off because basically they're scared of the Northern Army. Again, I like that they're trying to get the story going, like that the Good Hands get to work, because I like the Good Hands and the work that they do. And the first thing that happens when the baby faces come out is I ask myself, why doesn't Steve Macklin have a mask? His other guys do. Eric Young wears a mask. Jonathan Gresham wears a mask. Macklin needs to paint his face. Why didn't he do that? I just wanted him to wear a mask like the rest of his tag team partners.
Honestly, I just think you hate Macklin.
Let me tell you a story off the air. Good Hands control most of the match. Macklin and Alexander face off again in the match, which is nice stuff. At the end of the match, though, Macklin hits Khan the crosshairs and then a KIA on Hotch. At that point, Skyler had kind of been taken out by Eric Young in the fray. So Macklin gets the win, gets a little bit of redemption for his loss at Bound for Glory. They're going to build Macklin as a babyface star, and I don't hate what they're doing. I'm curious as to who he beats along the way. But this was a fine six-man match. Again, just guys who needed to fight. What did you think of this six-man?
I will say the Good Hands coming out with Josh Alexander makes sense. Not for nothing. It's like, are you about to do something really silly that you don't want to get caught up in? Call the Good Hands. And not for nothing, that's the way they've been used. Fantastic wrestlers. But if you know you need a job done and someone's not going to ask them any questions as long as the money clears, the Good Hands will show up. I saw this in chat too, but I literally have that as a note. These walking wiener chants are not going away. This man is going to be the walking wiener as long as he... And it's so funny because when I started watching TNA, Josh Alexander could do no wrong. Walking wiener chants would be considered blasphemy. But now look at us. We're calling him Don Callis pretty much. This match was great. Him walking out, fantastic. I knew what it was when he came out with the Good Hands. I was like, well, how are you going to explain this? And then him walking out like, oh, so that's how you explain that. Also, I kind of live from Macklin saying, I want to be an evil bad guy, but you're not a bad guy. I'm so bad. I'm so terrifying. Please, please. I don't want to be a good guy. These guys suck.
Match was fine. It got the point across, and that's Alexander is just a POS.
A walking wiener?
Yeah, he's a piece of garbage human being now, and he set up the good hands to fail and lose the match, and Macklin got the win. He reaped the rewards. Eric Young is completely harmless in this match because Eric is just like, he is that TNA heart and soul guy. He looks good, and he still wrestles very well. Gresham, I mean, we had the report on Fightful Select the last few weeks. He's coming to the end of his deal with TNA. Whether or not he stays, I mean, who knows? But this was an opportunity to just do an all-star six-man tag of some sorts. And that's all it was. They obviously, we mentioned the Vikingo match that they couldn't show. So instead, we got Bound for Glory highlights between Speedball and Vikingo. And then they go backstage at Speedball and Trent Seven. The way that they kind of put this together was, this was Speedball consoling Trent Seven after he lost in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match. Speedball kind of does the whole, you know, you got to learn from your mistakes and you have all this heart and you can do. And Trent Seven is like, I don't want any of this shit.
I don't want to hear that right now.
I don't want to hear this. Like, he calls the situation rubbish. He's upset. Speedball, like, he just sounds demeaning and upsetting and annoying. And then the system walk in and Moose is like, oh, we just want to erase all of our big old losses from Bound for Glory. And Speedball calls them the NWO from Timu, which was like, good stuff. I like that. And then they set up Moose versus Speedball next week for the X Division Championship.
Disgusting. I have to tell you that is something I will complain. I never have a complaint about Speedball, but sometimes he gives it very much Karate Kid. All you have to do is believe in yourself. And if you believe in yourself, and even if you don't believe in the me that believes in you, bro, I just lost. I got my nipples out. I'm really not trying to hear that right now. I wish there was a way to make him sound, I know he's dead ass being genuine, but it really comes off Karate Kid.
I get it. It's either way, Moose versus Speedball next week. Get ready. Just get ready. Ash by Elegance defeats Danny Luna. Crest of Star. It's on. It's happening. We're on the road to Reckless Elegance versus Spitfire. Probably a turning point. Reckless Elegance about to win those knockouts tag titles. Finishes, Luna goes for an inside-out German suplex. Iceman gets involved. Reckless uses the broom to knock out Luna, and Ash hits the rarefied air for the win. Jody Threat couldn't get there in time. Couldn't make a save. Danny Luna loses the match. Ash by Elegance gets the win. We're doing it. Them tag titles, they're coming over to the Elegance side.
Listen, I can't stop it. It's like when, you know, the meteor is coming towards Earth. It's just going to happen. The only thing I'm disappointed about is if tonight is a setup for anything, they're going to break up Spitfire. And it's like, please.
I don't think they'll break them up. Oh, I mean, they could, but I don't think it'll be that quickly.
I have zero faith. The way that it played out to me was like Jody Threat took too long and all of this shenanigans. Not like you guys haven't seen Ash by Elegance wrestle or wrestled her. You know how she gives it up. I hope I'm wrong because their Knockouts tag division needs to keep the little bit of teams that they do have. I mean, man, the Snap Germans were nice.
It's like I said, the Knockouts tag division is frequently the same way. Your champions, your one established heel team, one established babyface team, and then thrown to the together tag team that inevitably wins the matches and inevitably becomes the Knockouts tag titles or tag champions. It is what it is. It's just what they have. The good news is the Knockouts division is looking to get a little bit deeper, which is nice. Because in the next match, you got Lei Ying Li defeating Maggie Moore, who's actually known as Maggie Lee. But of course, you can't have Lei Ying Li versus Maggie Lee. So Maggie Moore is her name. They gave a little bit more to Maggie Moore than they normally would in other situations. So it leads me to think that maybe they'll give her some more opportunities down the line. But it also, in this match, makes me truly think that Lei Ying Li is going to take on Masha Slamovich at Genesis in January. That's going to be Masha's first big opponent.
Well, not mad at it.
Squash. No, me neither. It's not a complete squash match in this case. Lei Ying gets the win with Thunderstruck. The post-match is the big thing. Mm-hmm. Savannah Evans returns, and I know you love Savannah Evans. She comes out, she lays out Lei Ying Li and says, it's my time, not yours. Give me your thoughts on the match and the return of Savannah Evans.
Not mad at Lei Ying Li. I think with her current presentation, if she keeps on winning and doing stuff, she could absolutely be a contender for Masha. And in fact, I would even go as far to say, because I saw this with Masha and I could see it with Lee. She could be the Deanna to your Grace, the Lee to your Masha. I wouldn't be mad at that. However, with Savannah Evans coming back, oh my God, all that meat. I cannot wait. I cannot wait because Masha is going to need some stiff competition at the top. And again, I think Savannah Evans is one of those wrestlers where if you present her right and you tell the story right, right on the same level as Grace, as Perrazzo, as Masha, who's going to be able to take those big bumps. So I'm excited for that. And also, low-key, Evans versus Lee. Okay, that's going to be a stiff match no matter who wins. That's going to be stiff as hell.
Yeah, that's potentially going to make a final, or not final resolution, a WrestleCade match, a turning point match. And I wouldn't be mad at that at all. And if you do that match, then maybe in December at final resolution, you can do Savannah Evans versus Masha Slamovich for the Knockouts Championship. And then at Genesis, you can do Ling Lee versus Masha Slamovich for the Knockouts Championship. There's enough there, and I'm not mad at it either. I like Savannah Evans. I like that she's back. It's nice to have a different look to your Knockouts division, especially size and power. And just when you have different women, or again, it doesn't matter, gender non-specific, it's good to have different looks on your roster. Mm-hmm. Size notwithstanding. But yeah, this is good stuff. Happy to see it.
I'm low-key excited. And I don't know why this popped into my head. Savannah Evans versus Sol Ruka, I think, is that there's something there. And that's maybe just my brain saying, well, she's tall and she's tall. And one's a power pusher. Another one's a flippy dude. And that's sports entertainment for me. Book it, Dano.
That's not a bad idea. I wouldn't hate seeing it. I don't know if we'll see Sol Ruka again anytime soon. But it's,
I don't even know what's going on with the TNA NXT partnership or how much longer is left with that.
It's ongoing as needed. Wendy Chu and Rosemary have a match next week.
Fantastic, fantastic stuff.
Gotta blow off that hot feud that started at Bound for Glory.
It's a spooky feud.
Why didn't they run that tonight?
You know, just listening to what Kate and SP3 were talking about, it made sense to do an Abaddon match tonight. It would have made sense to do a Rosemary Wendy Chu match. Like, hell, you could have even brought back Havoc and people would have been like, yay. You know, literally on a Thursday. Come on now. Well, free. This is free.
The Havoc thing, I think, is it's coming, but you got to have your new tag team champions first in elegance, reckless elegance. But anyway, let's move on. Santana cuts a promo. I love this. He says, all we have is our word and our balls, and I was taught not to break them for nobody. Have you ever had anyone tell you that? You're a New Yorker. Your word and your balls?
Yeah, no, I wish I was memeing, but no, I've heard that term before many a time in my youth. That all you got in this life is your word and your balls. I never heard the second part, but I don't have any. I guess I don't have balls down there. I don't know, I guess.
Regardless, Santina says he put down the system, he put down Moose, but nothing was greater than the call from his daughter, and now it's time to bring home the world title. Cresta Star, it's time.
I thought of you specifically. I'm like, if he don't come in here with his soothsayer, Miss Cleo with the long nails, like, I look into the Joel Pearl crystal ball and Santana's now. I told you. You prayed for this.
He's next. Genesis. I don't see them doing it anytime sooner. If they do it at Final Resolution and they do it, you know, I don't think they'll do it at WrestleGate. If they do it at Final Resolution at Center Effing Stage in Atlanta, I don't like that. But if they do it at Genesis, at Curtis Caldwell, which is a pretty sizable venue. That's a match. I want to see Santino and Nemeth. I want to see that as the world title. The monkey's paw, however, dictates the Kazarian will then cash in on Santana and win. But we'll see where that goes.
I don't like when you say things because when you say, I'm like, ah, oh, nah, that sounds right, because I could have swore that Kazarian cashed in at Bound for Glory, but they were like, no, you see, he has his trophy. He's still the champion. I mean, the call your shot winner. So I don't know, man, because, again, the same problem we had at Bound for Glory. It's where does Hendry fit in this along with Nemeth? And now you've got Santana. Moose is still lurking in the shadows, you know, and that's not even including if Matt Cardona want to get serious and pull up and be a mischief maker.
Oh, I haven't thought about that. That's upsetting. We'll see.
I mean, for Mr. Always Ready, I could totally see him Kazarian win. He's like, what the hell is this? Especially with that PCO thing being, I could see it.
So I don't think that he's going to be a Genesis. Hmm. I think that Cardona is going to be working New York that night. I think he'll be at Hammerstone.
Or I think he's at Hammerstein.
Yes, because again, the TNA deal that he has is a handshake. I don't think he's going to be working both shows because he can't. It's not physically possible to work both shows. But if he does Hammerstein and then goes on Thursday to Texas, he could do that. But I don't know. I think Cardona is he's always ready to do whatever he wants wherever he can go. Put it like that.
Always ready.
Could hear that theme in a big arena or stadium soon. In the main event, JDC and Edward Edwards defeat Joe Hendry and TNA champion Nick Mammoth. Now, Kazarian's on commentary again. It was so friggin' funny where they're just like, they made it like, Kazarian's coming out. This is such a big deal. And then it's like, oh, he's on commentary again.
Tom Hannifin doesn't get paid enough. Because like literally when they cut to him, this is just Tom Hannifin in his chair like,
Miss Mother.
Honestly, again, too, with the commentary, shout outs to Tom Hannifin telling Ray Walt, you live on the fourth floor walk up, and Ray Walt, without missing a beat, says, it's the third floor, and I'm in great shape. Thank you. Ray Walt, another bald wrestler.
Great one, too. Famously shaved his head mid WrestleMania. Come on. Does Rusev Day and then comes out later with a bald head. That was before he did the one match and then comes out with a shaved head to do Rusev Day. Very good stuff. Anyway, Hendry accidentally runs into Nemeth at the end of this match. Edwards hits a Boston Knee Party on Nemeth for the win. It's the first time Nick Nemeth's been pinned since debuting in TNA 6 months ago. So clearly Edward Edwards versus Nick Nemeth for the TNA title at Turning Point, right?
I think they did announce that or something like that because they were putting it over on commentary, you know, that Nemeth, this is his first time being pinned, so that's got to lead. And fuck, not sorry. And Ray Walt all night was like, if you pin the champion, it's got to set a precedent. So I don't foresee a world where that doesn't happen. But I do foresee somehow Moose being like, yeah, trust the system. But also, why does Edward Edwards get a chance? Edward Edwards is going to give your championship title run or your shot to me. You know, that'd be interesting, but I don't think they're going to break up the system yet. Actually, I take that back. I don't think the system's getting broken up with yet.
No, not at all. But he is a former TNA world champion. He won that thing twice to Eddie Edwards. So I can see him. Like, it makes sense to do it. He's had great matches. I hearken back to last year, and I'm sure they'll make reference to this on commentary, that Eddie Edwards had a fantastic match with Will Ospreay. That was a sleeper hit that happened at Turning Point when they were in the UK last year, and they did the tapings, and it became the TNA Plus special, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that was a great match. So they'll probably talk about that, and they'll talk about, again, that he's been a former tag team champion, a former world champion, so it makes sense. They just got to make Edwards matter for the next 4 weeks to make a world championship match matter as well. Here's the reality of it. They're going to be at WrestleCade, which is already a convention that has like huge numbers coming. People are coming from all over the world for WrestleCade. The show happening at that event is kind of like, it's already, it's like a sold show in a way where people are already there. They're going to come and join. No one's like, I have to go to WrestleCade because TNA is there. It's more like TNA is putting on a show at WrestleCade. I should probably, you know, probably check that out. I'm going to go and meet, you know, X superstar and X former, this guy and X, this guy and this wrestler and this wrestler. And then we're going to go and watch Turning Point, and it'll be a fun show. You can do Edwards versus Nemeth based on that because you don't have any tickets to sell. You're already going to WrestleCade. So just like Edwards and Nemeth, just like Lish and Masha, just like, you know, name whatever match you want, you can get by. First Class versus the Hardys, this is not a knock on any of these people. It's just you can get by with a card like this that isn't super duper blockbuster, but makes sense in the TNA wrestling fandom world, and that's okay. You're getting to the end of the year, you're just putting stuff on for the sake of putting it on.
I'll be real with you, up until like the week before Thanksgiving, it's kind of like, if you haven't done your stories and whatnot, now I really, across all wrestling companies, I expect this much. Everyone's got a family, you know, and no matter where you fall on the wrestling scale, they let people go home to see their people want to go home and see their family. So not for nothing, not to say that these don't hold weight, because I'm saying I agree with you, but I'm saying, like, I agree with you. You can put on something that's going to be great, but in the overall storyline, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Put on a good match. People are going to come and see these people, and it's WrestleCade. You might expose someone who might be like, TNA. Like, oh, wow, TNA.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the hope. So, listen, we'll probably cover the show and see how see how time goes, shall we? But I think for now it's time for us to go. That is your Halloween TNA Impact show. Cresta Star, Cresta Angle, gold medalist. What you got going on?
It's me, the human hot dog, Don Cal. Let me tell you something about family. This channel is a family, and every Thursday and Saturday, you can see my family. Thursday is Joe Pearl. That's a family, and we talk about TNA. And TNA is great because I help them. I'm kidding. I can't do that the whole time. You guys can watch me every Thursday and Saturday over here on Fightful. We go over TNA on Thursday, and on Saturdays, we go over the Collision show for AEW. I'm here for pay-per-views for all things TNA Impact. And if that is, you need more, Cresta Star. Cresta Star on all forms of social media, except for Twitch. No, Twitter. There's so many names to that place. Except for Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star. Follow me on Blue Sky, because I will be shutting down my Twitter. 2025. I think I said everything. There's a link tree in my bio. Do that. Joe Pearl, where can they find you?
When I'm not here with Cresta on Thursdays, I'm in the weeds with Jeremy Lambert over on Fightful Overbooked every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern till about noon, 12:30, when we're really feeling it. Tomorrow is another day, so we will be talking about everything. But for now, for Cresta Star, I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, leave a thumbs up on the way out, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.